Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 13, Acts in chapter 13, we'll be reading verse 1 down to verse 3 this morning. Prayer. What a blessing. I mean, if that's all we had, we have so much to be thankful for, an open communication to God. Prayer was designed by God as a way to communicate with humanity. And what a blessing it is to be able to go to the Lord in prayer at any time. If you know the Lord, then you can go to the Lord at any time and know that He is there, hearing our prayers and working to answer our prayers according to His will. And what a blessing prayer is. But we find as we study the Bible, we have more than just prayer. And God has given us an extension to praying, which is called fasting. And we preached on that last week as well. And, of course, this is our Prayer and Fasting Awareness Month. I want all to be aware of just the power of prayer and then the power of prayer and fasting. So this morning we're looking here in the book of Acts, chapter 13. If you'll stand with me, we'll be reading verse 1 down to verse 3. The Bible says in chapter 13 and verse 1, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' But when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before You this morning, we thank You, Lord, for this just another opportunity to be in church. Thank You for what You've already revealed to us and how You have spiritually fed us this morning through Sunday school and through just the worship service. And now, Father, as we look into the precious Word that You have preserved for us, that we might have it, be able to read it and study it and preach it, I just pray, God, that You'd meet with us. And I pray that You'd give each one here that ear to hear and that heart to make an application. I ask, God, that once again that You would use me as an instrument in Your hand to bring forth Your message to Your people from Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This first century church at Antioch was a model church. It was a model church for this New Testament church age, the very first Gentile church that had not only Jews but Gentiles alike that were serving in the church. They would accomplish much for the cause of Christ. As we would study about the church at Antioch, they were withstood great persecution, withstood a lot of great suffering. And yet they accomplished exactly what God would have them to accomplish, including sending out the great missionary team of Paul and Barnabas. And we find this in chapter 13, that this church lays their hands upon them, commissions them to go out and start representing Christ and this church and seeing souls saved, the New Testament church is established all around. And so what a great church this was. And as we study the church at Antioch, the key to their success, no doubt, was their walk with God and their dependence upon God. Which is the same today. If you're going to be a success as a born-again believer, it's going to depend upon your walk with God and your dependency upon God. This church, we will celebrate our 28th anniversary just in 2 weeks. And whatever success we've had as a church, as He established this church some 28 years ago, has come because of our walk with God and our dependency upon God. And as we walk with God and look to Him to fight our battles, look to Him to supply our needs, Look to Him to strengthen us. Look to Him to be able to get us through, help us to make it through whatever trials, whatever type of persecution, whatever storms that we might have to face. Dependency upon God, that's what gets us through it. The success of this church in Antioch is seen here in chapter 13. And what they did in order to walk with God and place their dependency upon God. It reveals their prayer and fasting. In verse 2 it says, "And as they ministered to the Lord," as they served the Lord and fasted, it was a part of their lives. They were under a tremendous persecution at this time, this first century age church. They were battling a lot of things. And so they were fasting and adding that to prayer. And the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." They were very sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God because they were dependent upon God through the Holy Spirit to direct them and empower them and show them exactly what they needed to do. And then in verse 3 again, the Bible says in verse 3, "And when they had fasted and prayed." So we find that prayer and fasting was just an everyday thing for them. They understood the need for prayer and the need for fasting. And when they had decisions to make, and the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And they wouldn't do anything without, first of all, looking to God and finding God's will upon their lives and whatever they would do. And it came by way of prayer and fasting. And so this morning, as we looked at this model church and we study this chapter 13, the first three verses here, why should a believer fast? Now, you might fast food in order to lose some weight. And praise the Lord, that will do you some physical good. But no spiritual good comes out of fasting unless it is attached to prayer. Prayer is for the believer. You can't communicate with a God that you don't know and that does not know you. The Bible says that before we get saved, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. But through Christ, we are quickened or made alive unto God. Now that you have been made alive unto God, you have an opportunity to communicate with God. And He has given us the tool of prayer for us to communicate with God. God communicates to us today through His Word. And He has promised. Once the Word of God was completed, we find that Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "When that which is perfect is come, that which was in part shall be done away with." Jesus Christ was the perfect representation of God in human flesh. And He left for us the completion of His Word, which is the perfect revelation of God, God's Word to mankind. And for the English-speaking people, I believe that we have that every word of it preserved as God wanted it to be preserved for us, as God has preserved it through this King James Bible for this New Testament church age English-speaking people. And I believe more than anything else, for the United States of America. I go back to 1776, and the Bible that our forefathers used in establishing the constitution of this great nation and establishing the laws of the land that we would live by came by way of this Bible right here. That's why this Bible and the Ten Commandments have been posted in government up till the present day and age. But we find here that it was always there. It was always referred to by all of those fathers, or look back into those that God used to establish this great nation. And so, but by those that have established it, we've had the Word of God. And the Word of God represents exactly what God would have us to live by. And so God speaks to us through the Word of God. God speaks to us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God that comes to dwell within you, and you're sealed into that day of redemption. Once you're saved, you're sealed. God sealed you. You're His child. He's going to deal with you as a child. And we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit of God inside of us, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit and influences us to do what God would have us to do. God speaks to us inwardly through the Holy Spirit of God, and then God has revealed to us that He speaks through the preaching of His Word. This New Testament church age, God has established a church. He has established the preaching of His Word so that God might work through the preaching of His Word to speak to those that would come underneath the hearing of that Word of God. Praise the Lord for that. That's how God speaks to us. God allows us to speak to Him through prayer. That's it. Prayer. You can communicate with God. It's a blessing when you understand the power and the privilege that we have been given to the believer. And so, for the believer, we have prayer. Why fasting? Preacher, I understand prayer. And yes, I pray. I take everything to the Lord in prayer. Praise the Lord for that. Why fasting? Well, the church at Antioch realized this was established by the one that they looked to, who established the church, who established Christianity, and that was Jesus Christ Himself. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 6. Why they fasted, same reason why we should fast. In Matthew chapter 6, we find the great Sermon on the Mount. I don't know that there's a greater passage of Scripture in all the Bible than the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus establishing Christianity. And He presented this in the Sermon on the Mount, how that the believers were to live. And in chapter 6, we find that He teaches them to pray. Chapter 6 and verse 5, when He addresses His disciples, He says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." That's not how you pray to be seen of men. It's not how you talk to God, communicate with God. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And when ye pray, use not vain repetition." Use not vain repetition. That's not praying. Just to repeat the same thing over and over again and think that's getting a hold of God. That's not praying. "When you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." And then He gives them an example of prayer, how to break prayer down. And He says, "After this manner, therefore pray. Our Father." You realize that you have a heavenly Father. Now that you've been saved, you're born into the family of God, you have a heavenly Father. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Things to pray for, daily bread. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Pray for forgiveness every day. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Praise the Lord, for He taught His disciples to pray. Well, continue down in that very same chapter. Because not only did He teach them to pray, He taught them to fast. Look in chapter 6 and verse 16. "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men." Again, fasting is not to appear spiritual before man. "Disfigure their faces, they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face." Just go on your everyday life. Don't do it just to try to show your spirituality toward others. He said, "That thou may appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Your fast is between you and God. Basically, that's what it is. Your prayer is between you and God. Now, as a church, we come together and we pray publicly. Praise the Lord, but we pray to God. We don't pray to be seen of men. And we can ask and call for a fast, as we find this is something that has been done throughout Scripture. But it's still an individual's fasting before God. It's a fast and a prayer is between your, it has to do with your relationship, your personal relationship between you and God. But the idea here, what I want you to see here, why should we fast, is because Jesus taught them to not only pray, but Jesus taught His disciples to fast. He said, when? Verse 5, it says, when thou prayest. Verse 6, it says, when thou prayest. Verse 7, it says, when thou you pray. There's an expectation there. Pray if you want to, no. When? That means it's expected of you to pray. The very same thing in verse 16, when you fast. In verse 17, when thou fastest. Fasting's an option? Well, it's between you and the Lord, but there's an expectation of God for you to not only pray, but for you to fast. Look over to Luke in chapter 5. Luke in chapter 5. The church at Antioch just simply was the most Christ-like church. That's why it was a model church in this first century church age. It was a model church for every church that would be established after that. In the book of Luke in chapter 5, in verse 33. The Bible says, and they said unto him, the critics of the day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and they said unto him, why do thy disciples, do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? You fast to draw close to the Lord. He was with them. That's pretty close. Look right here in verse 35. But the days will come. When? Is that when again? The bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. I believe that there's an expectation. I believe that it is part of God's will for us. It is part of what we have need of. If we are going to walk with God, and if we are going to have a dependency upon God, there's going to come a time in our lives that we're going to have to add to praying, fasting. If it were not so, then we wouldn't have it. If it were not so, Jesus would not have established it. He would not have taught His disciples. He would not have had an expectation of them to not only pray, but to pray and to fast. And so then the next question would be is, when should believers fast? When should believers fast? We have an example here. We have this church at Antioch. There in chapter 13 and verse 2. The Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord. And while they were ministering to the Lord, they fasted. As they ministered to the Lord, that is, as they served God. To serve the Lord and to be what we ought to be, we might need a closer walk. And a closer walk will come by way of fasting. Fasting is letting go of the physical and getting a hold of the spiritual. You know what hinders our spiritual walk? The physical. One day, we're going to have glorified bodies, or it's not going to have any physical side of it. There's not going to be a sin nature. Not going to be flesh and blood. We'll have bodies that'll be glorified. We'll be in the presence of God. A presence of holiness, righteousness. where there is no temptation, where there is no chance of sin, because there's no sin. Sin has been bound and cast in the devil's hell. Praise the Lord, I'm looking forward to that. One of the things I look forward to more than anything else about heaven is to getting rid of this sin nature. Not having to battle every day of my life. And if you're honest, listen to me. If you're trying to live the Christian life, you're battling every day. You're battling this old flesh. You're battling the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We're battling that every day. One of the things that is going to be a blessing is to get rid of that battle. Not have to second guess, all right, is this right or wrong? How should I respond to that? But in this life, we have it. Better be aware of it. We live a physical life, but we ought to live a spiritual physical life. Yielding to the Holy Spirit of God, who will lead, guide, and direct us as God has established it. As a minister to the Lord, fasting is letting go of the physical and getting a hold of the spiritual. Job, in the great trials that he was going through, he said this, I have esteemed the words of his mouth, God's mouth. I've esteemed the words of God's mouth. I want them. I want to hear from God more than my necessary food. Basically saying, Job was saying, I'm fasting because I am getting rid of anything physical and I am going to use this getting rid of the physical to draw as close to God as I can because I need to hear His Word. I need to feel sense His presence in my life. When we're going through some of the toughest times of our life, some of the roughest trials, is when you need the Lord the most. We have prayer. Sometimes we need to add something to that. Just need a closer walk. Prayer allows me to draw closer to God just in communication. Sometimes I've just got to block out everything physical and just focus on the Lord. Get a hold of the spiritual. If we're walking, listen to me, close enough to God, we can be the Christians we ought to be. If we are walking close enough, you can be the Christian, Christ-like, that we ought to be. If you're not, it's because somewhere you've let the flesh come in. In the flesh, you cannot please God. Because the flesh is going to work opposite the will of God. The flesh is going to hinder our walk with God. And so if you're having a hard time being the Christian that God wants you to be, can I tell you the reason, the bottom line, the reason for that is you're just not walking as close to God as what you could be. Because if we are walking close enough to God, we can be what God wants us to be. We can resist the temptations of this life. We can resist the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of... We can! Matthew chapter 6, go back there with me, because He taught them. He taught them how to pray. And then with that, He taught them how to fast. But even in praying, helps us to walk closer to God. And what is one of the things He told them to pray for? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because God, Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You have the power to strengthen me to overcome this. You have the power, and God, I'm praying for that power. God, I'm looking to You and I'm asking for You to lead us, not lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from this evil and help me to make right decisions. That's prayer. Sometimes just being aware of God and praying will help you to overcome that temptation. And sometimes you need a little more. When that little more, that time comes, when that temptation is just becoming too strong for you to resist, it's a time that you need to add to your praying a time of fasting. So I'm going to bring this body under subjection. I'm going to bring this mind under control. I will overcome that temptation. Amen. And the way you're going to do that is how? Drawing closer to God. Church of Antioch understood that, understanding that their need to walk close to God and their dependency, without Him they could not do it. And we need to get to that very same place where we want to walk close to God and realize without Him we cannot do it. Fasting. We can be what we ought to be. We're walking close enough, we can handle that trial. Falling apart in the midst of your trial, you're starting to question God, starting to question everything about what's taking place, and with that you're losing peace of mind, losing joy. Can I tell you what you need to do? Walk closer. If you're close enough, you can handle that trial. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because this is a promise from God, and you just have to believe in this promise. You have to know this to be true. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. Walking close enough, you'll hold on to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation. That word temptation there is a trial. There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Walking close enough, you'll know He's faithful. You won't question His being faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tried above that you are able, but will with that temptation or trial also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to, what? Bear it. You're not able to bear it. You know why? Just not walking close enough. I've been praying, preaching. I've been coming to church. I've been reading my Bible. It could be that God is telling you you need to walk a little closer. And the tool that He has given to you to walk a little closer is that tool, that extension of prayer, which is called fasting. Fasting. Something Jesus taught. Something that's expected of His children to do. We're walking close enough. We can overcome. And you put anything there you want to put there. You can overcome. 1 John 5:4 tells us we are overcomers through Christ. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through Christ. Walking close enough. But walking close enough, it might require that extension of prayer. I remember many years ago as a youth pastor, I fasted basketball for 1 year. Fasted basketball? I thought it was supposed to be just food. Well, if you study the Bible, you'll find that there was times that they fasted more than just food and drink. They fasted pleasures. I remember as a youth pastor, I enjoyed playing basketball. And I was out there anytime we got a chance to be out there, and I was playing with the adults, and the teens were there watching, and I remember they called a foul on me that was, it was a bad call. It was a bad call. Even to this day, I still admit it was a bad call. But I got upset. And I lost my testimony. And afterwards, the Lord smote my heart. He said, are you serving me to play basketball? Are you serving me to be an example? Especially to these young people. I remember saying, Lord, I'm serving you to be an example. If basketball is going to hinder my testimony, God, I'll get control of it. And I'll fast it. I'll give it up. For 1 year, I did not play basketball. I would help the teenagers when we had basketball. I wouldn't play. I didn't pick up a basketball myself. Why? Because I was wanting to walk closer to God. I wanted to put my life in perspective. And I was not going to let anything come before my service to God. I got rid of the physical. Got to hold the spiritual. Did I want to play basketball? I wanted to play basketball. I'm telling you what, I never had such a desire as when I decided I couldn't play or wouldn't play. Fast whatever's a hindrance to your ministering to the Lord. What is God's call upon your life? Be a Christian, first of all. What is it that's preventing you from being that, having that Christian testimony? What is it that's preventing you from serving God in the capacity that He has for you to serve Him? Maybe it's a television. We're going to have just a suggested fast, and the last week is a television fast. But it could be that that TV is keeping you from being the parent that you need to be. I don't know. Is television wrong, preacher? Should we go home and kick the face of the TV in and throw it at... No. It's how you use it. That TV's not right or wrong. It's an object. It can't sin in and of itself. But it can sure let a lot of sin into your life. It can sure promote sin in your family. If that's a hindrance... Get rid of the physical to get a hold of the spiritual. Yeah. Maybe for a year. I don't know. The fasting is between you and the Lord. But if God puts that on your heart, He put that basketball on my heart. Praise the Lord. He hasn't put golf on my heart. Now, I behave myself on the golf course because I don't want to have, but if that's what it takes, I would do it. Amen. I'm just saying, Lord, you know, if it ever become a hindrance to my service to God, I'll be willing. Are you willing? Is something the Spirit of God revealing to you this is a hindrance to your calling, your ministry, your testimony? Get rid of the physical. And as you get rid of the physical, look to God and realize why you're doing it. To get a hold of the spiritual. Television. I had an evangelist come. This has been years ago. But he said, preacher, you won't believe this. The last church I was in, there was a woman that got up on the Wednesday night, the last night of the meeting, and asked prayer for somebody. And I seen the pastor's face. And he kind of grimaced and went down. I talked to him after. I said, why did you grimace? He said, the person doesn't exist. It's a soap opera. It became her life to the place where she come to church and asked the church to pray for this TV actor. It's time to give up television. Amen. I guarantee you it is. What is it? Sports? Don't let me bring the conviction, but the Holy Spirit of God's telling you it's hindering your life. Tendering you from living and serving God as you ought to hint at sports, hobbies, food. Fasting food is the most known or thing that people are aware of. You look at the Webster's Dictionary, it's a fasting of food. I remember reading the book by Lovett, and this is the title, Lord Help, the Devil Wants Me Fat. I thought, I got to read that. And it was hindering him, food was hindering him from having the energy, to the out, being outgoing, and being able to accomplish what God wants. If food is hindering you from being more of what God wants you to be, I think it's time to start fasting. Giving up your indulging in whatever it might be. We've somewhat highlighted that with bread or dessert or whatever that might be. If Satan can't get you doing evil in the flesh, he'll just try to rule your life through the flesh. And sometimes he might not get you to go out and drink and do drugs or give into sexual activity, but he can control you through food. Listen to me. Get rid of the physical to get a hold of the spiritual. Don't allow anything to hinder you from being able to accomplish what God would have you to accomplish. They fasted as they ministered to the Lord. The second thing they fasted over was making spiritual decisions. They had a decision whether or not to keep Paul and Barnabas in the church or to send them out of the church. No church wants to lose faithful workers. And yet the Holy Spirit of God says, I have a different plan for them. Send them out. And they prayed and fasted. And when they knew this was a decision that God would have them to make, they rejoiced in being able to send them out to do the work of the Lord. When making spiritual decisions, and you don't quite have the peace, and you've been praying about it, listen to me. Don't stop. There is peace. That peace might only come through prayer and fasting. And that fasting is between you and the Lord, but be willing to give up whatever He tells you to give up in order to get that peace in your life. Prayer and fasting. Lastly, I've got to conclude here, but what not to expect? Is prayer and fasting just a cure-all? As long as I pray hard enough and fast enough, then I can have whatever I pray for. 2 Samuel, we'll close with this. But 2 Samuel. Praise the Lord for the example of David. When David was walking with God and God used him in a very special way. But we know that David had a couple of times in his life that he fell to temptation and sin, especially with Bathsheba and the sin with Uriah, having Uriah killed. Nathan the prophet came to David, and Nathan told David that it was going to be the will of God, that God would chasten David and he would have to lose his first child born of Bathsheba. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, we find that David begins to fast. And as David fasts, in verse 13, actually this is when Nathan comes to David, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And then in chapter 13, we find that David is fasting and asking God to save his son. He fasts. Not only did he pray, but he prayed and he fasted. He wouldn't eat. And then the child died. His servants were very afraid to come and tell David. They thought David, if he was that taken by his child's sickness, that if they found out the child would die, maybe David would even do something and take his own life. But after he found out that the child was dead, David got up and told them to bring him food. He was going to carry on and serve as before. They couldn't understand that. In chapter 12, verse 21, the Bible says, Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted. And he fasted because he wanted God to spare the child and wept. For I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? And then in verse 23 says this, But now is he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. David desired for his son to live, and so he prayed and he fasted, but it was not God's will. Listen here, and we're going to close with this thought. No amount of prayer or fasting will get God to act opposite His established will. His established will. But as we pray, and as we fast, it's an extension to prayer, a final step for us to get assurance that this is God's will. When David fasted, he was saying, Lord, if the chance it's not established that my son will die, I am going to give all. I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast. But once he realized that it was established for God's will, then David accepted the will of God. And he got up and he said, I'll continue to serve and accomplish whatever else you have for me to accomplish. The fasting did not change God's established will, but through the fasting, it gave David peace to accept the will of God. Prayer and fasting. Do you need a closer walk with God? Do you need to reveal more of your dependency upon Him? First of all, you've got to know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord today, in just a few minutes, we're going to have an invitation. We're going to invite you to come. Let somebody take a Bible and show you what the Bible says you must do in order to have prayer. Have an open communication with God. That only comes to the believer through prayer. Have to establish that. Once you've established that, believer, maybe you need to draw a little closer. And you do that by way of fasting. Prayer and fasting. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Why? Jesus established it. Not only did he established it with an expectation of every believer needing to learn and to make this application. Maybe you're there. Maybe you find yourself in a position right now that you need to add to your praying, fasting. Be willing to fast whatever God tells you that you need to give up and fast for however long that God would reveal you need to do it. Prayer. Closer walk with God. Acknowledgement of my dependency upon Him. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. I pray right now for this invitation. God, we preach what You would have us to preach today. Only You know how You've made this application in everyone's heart and life here. If there's someone here that does not know You as Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be the day they'd be saved. I pray for that believer, God, that has been struggling. Oh, their faith is wavering. Oh, Father, would You help them to come to this place where they look to You and walk desire a closer walk, a greater dependency. Work in our midst. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.